bed in the land. And Father, it is a privilege for us to be together again. May you instruct us. May you lead us. And Father, we thank you even for the visitation of our apostle. Father, as he comes, may he father us all and grant us wisdom and knowledge. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Yeah, so it's nice to be here. Hallelujah. So, look, whatever I say, when it comes, delete it. Because what he's come with is very heavy. So, me, I'm just coming to chat with you. Hallelujah. But I just want for a brief moment, I've been listening to a message that Bishop has been sharing. You know, I was with Bishop in where's that place called? Manila. You know, I've known Bishop for a long time, but I was recently in Manila. And he was preaching there. And the miracles that I saw and the power, I just said to myself that, look, if you live, the power and the miracles, I'm including a 92-year-old man who has not heard for 12 years, now is hearing. You know? So I just said to myself that, look, I think if we take miracles out of the Bible, then we have demeaned God. Are you hearing me? And I remember riding with him back to the hotel, just the two of us. And he told me something, he said, no, some people can run their ministry without entering into this level. And I realized that a lot of us have accepted ministry at a certain level. But let me tell you something. Christianity is a supernatural religion. Amen. I say Christianity is a supernatural religion. Amen. If you take your Bible, and those of you who have old Bibles, and everywhere you see a miracle, you delete it or you cancel it, at the end of the day, you'll be left with a very thin book. You take your Bible and go through. And everywhere you see anything supernatural, cancel it. You'll be left with a very thin book. In fact, the only part of the Bible that you'll be left with, Joab begat this, and this one begat that. That's where you'll be left with. Yeah. Hallelujah. So we must believe in God and believe in miracles. Hallelujah. Christianity is a spiritual, it's a supernatural religion. Hallelujah. I mean, I think that trip actually changed my view of my faith. That look, we must believe in miracles and experience miracles and work miracles. May you work miracles. I say, may you work miracles. Yeah. Because I was just the two of us, I was following him. He asked for oil, and I poured oil in his hand. When I came, I said, Charlie, may I be the bottle from which the oil, you see, when the bottle that contains the oil, even when all the oil is poured, some remain inside. Say, may some remain on me, I beg you. Hallelujah. Yeah. So, and you see, and that's what we need. So I'm going to talk with you about, for a few moments, about the presence of God. We need his presence. We need his presence. We need his presence in our life. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. You cannot be a Christian who does not have his presence. Hallelujah. So I've been listening to the message by Bishop, the presence of God. Since I came, I've been soaking over and over again. I listen to a lot of messages, but you know, like they teach us all the time. When you listen to a certain message will resonate with you. You see, the message that resonates with you is the one that God is calling you to listen. So even though you listen to a lot of messages, first, one of them will resonate with you. It means there's something in that message for you. Hallelujah. So that message, you listen over and over again. I've been listening to all bishops, but when I listened to it, it resonated with me. Say, there must be something in it for me. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 39, verses 2 and 3. Genesis 39, 2 and 3. Listen, I'm talking about the presence of God. The Bible said that, and the Lord was with Joseph. It means God was present with Joseph. Are you hearing me? And the effect. This is what I'm trying to share with you. When God was with Joseph, what was the effect? I said, what was the effect? I said, what was the effect? That's what it is. That's what it is. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of Joseph. The presence of God is what pushes you forward. So it means that when God is with you, you will go forward. That's what it means. I mean, so prosperous that the next verse says that. And his master, you see, and his master saw the Lord was, an unbeliever saw it. His master wasn't a Christian, he was an unbeliever. See, there's a certain blessing a certain presence of God in your life that even people will see. It's not the type of, you are saying God is with you, but we don't see. I'm not talking about that type. You know, some people have a way of saying, the Lord will see me, but we don't see. But there's also a certain presence that we see. Yeah. There are two different things. It's like prosperity. You say you are prosperous, but we don't see. But there's a certain presence. The Bible says, and his master saw it. Hallelujah. I mean, the presence that even unbelievers see. Yeah. Whether we like it or not, one of the most common testimonies we hear, one of the most common things we hear nowadays when they go for Healing Jesus Crusade, all across Africa, the commonest comment we hear is that no man can do this except God be with him. The largest. I mean, I was just talking to Nana. Bishop preached for 32 nights in Zimbabwe. 32 nights. And every single night there was a miracle. Have you thought about it? That 32 nights. And every single night there was a miracle. Well, you can go a whole year preaching. You didn't see one miracle in your life. Have you thought about it? 32 days. Every day on the stage, somebody came to testify. And a lot. Every day. You can preach one whole year.
My God.
Use your strength. Not one miracle. Not a single miracle. So it is no wonder. The commonest thing you hear that no man can do this. You see, I'm talking about the presence of God that even unbelievers see. May God be with you.
Yeah.
I say, may God be with you.
Yeah.
Charlie, at the end of it, it's God that we need. Oh. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
In fact, in 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 6. 1 Samuel 12, 6. 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 6. Very interesting. He said that this, look at another verse. And Samuel said unto the people, it is the Lord. It is who?
The Lord.
That advanced Moses and Aaron. It is the Lord. So if you see Moses and Aaron going forward, the one behind the advancement is the Lord.
Wow.
It is the Lord that advanced Moses and Aaron. So as you see Moses doing great things, what you don't know is that God was behind him. It is the Lord. Let me tell you something. If God doesn't push you, you can't push yourself. It is the Lord.
It is the Lord.
That advanced. Your advancement, your promotion, your rising up, it is God. May the Lord advance you.
Amen.
I say, may the Lord advance you.
Amen.
Some of you are not lifting up your hands. You don't know the prophecy that is in here. May the Lord advance you.
Amen.
May the Lord advance you. Tell you, it is the Lord.
It is the Lord.
It is the Lord. I tell you. It has nothing to do with your ability, your intelligence, and everything. It is the Lord that advances. That's what it is. Yeah, it's the Lord. Please sit down. It's the Lord. I'm telling you, whether we like it or not. See, one I've been around for a while. I wasn't born yesterday. I'm telling you, apostle is coming to preach. I'm just waiting for him. So we are all sharing something. I am telling you, I've been around for a while. I may look young, but I'm not young. Just nice, maybe I'm handsome, but I'm not young. But I tell you, I have been around, and I can tell you, Daniel, if God does not prosper you, you are joking. I was born yesterday. I have seen that at the end of the day, the underlying factor for prosperity and promotion is God. It is the Lord. It is the Lord. Yeah. That is why God told the people of Israel, he said, look, Moses told him that if that shall happen unto the voice of the Lord thy God, the Lord thy God will set thee high above the other nations. It means that what will separate you from your colleagues. Okay, Israel was a nation. They are all nations. Jordan, Abgad, they are all nations. But God said, look, you this particular nation, I'm going to set you apart if you shall hearken. It means the presence of God in that nation will separate that nation. And whether we like it or not, up to today, 2016, we are seeing. Whether you believe it or not, Israel is no different from your country. Are you hearing me? Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Listen to me. My church is in New York. I'm a New Yorker. Yes. I said, I'm a New Yorker. Yes. I'm a true and true New Yorker. And I tell you, when you see the real deal, Ben Stein, Goldstein, the Steins, it's the juice. As of today. Hallelujah. So what I'm trying to share with us briefly is that since it is presence that promotes you, you must do everything to attract his presence. That's all. It should be one of your goals to attract his presence. So anything that will take away his presence, fight it. And anything that will bring his presence, covet it. I'm sharing a revelation, a discussion. We're having a discussion. This is a discussion. Tell anybody, this is just a discussion. We are all discussing that. And just as you see, God told the people of Israel, he said, if you want me to come into your presence, okay, if you want me to come, then build me a tabernacle or a house. And okay, it's good. And I'm telling you, just as you do not want to live anywhere in any house, God also has his own specification. So if you want God to live here, then build a house according to his standard. So you cannot build a house anyhow and expect God to live there. So he gave the people of Israel specifications. In fact, let's look at some of them. It's a discussion. Exodus 25, verse 1. Exodus 25, 1, quickly. And the Lord spoke. Oh, okay, this is. Go to verse number 8. He said, and let them make me what? That what? And let them make me what? That I may what? But he didn't end there. After he gave them specs. God is a master architect. It's like, the father said, build me a house, you can build any house. No. Because you don't live anywhere. You have your colors. So when you go to Exodus 26 verse 1, he began to say, I mean, the whole Exodus talk about, but 26 verse 8, moreover, now he's giving them the details. He said, moreover, thou shalt make the tabernacle with 10 curtains of fine linen. Not rough, not basa basa linen. Of what? Fine linen. So if you think you can use adokodon to be or kuntu to build, please. Yeah. Fine linen. Not only that, though. Look at it. And blue. And purple. And scarlet. Have you seen God choosing colors? Even you on your wedding day, you choose your colors. How much more God? I have seen sisters, even I have seen sisters, they go crazy on the colors. So. Hey! Somebody told me, I said, what is so? No. They, it must be the exact blue. What? Navy blue, royal blue, huh? Baby blue. Huh? Teal. Sky blue. Huh? Turquoise. So, the fact that they say we are wearing blue for the wedding does not mean any blue match. Turquoise. When it comes to even the red, rusty red, scarlet red, magenta, you have the colors for. Yeah, what colors do you know? Huh? Burgundy red. Yeah. What is that? Have you seen the kind of apple red? So when we say red, it means you cannot come with your you cannot come with your, somebody said, your palm oil red. No, put the palm oil. Everybody, we are saying red, that means that you can say all red is red. So you come with your palm oil red. No! We are talking about apple red. Not your zombie red. I got it there. So you see how specific he was. Listen, I'm talking about spiritual things here. Look, the tabernacle was the house of God. And God was very specific about it. Actually, when you read it, it's a mikdash, it was a tent. And God chose, and the outer layer was all white. Then the entrance had the different colors. The door to the tabernacle, which actually is the door to the tabernacle, or the door to the presence of God, which is actually Christ, has also different colors. So the colors represent, God was very particular about it. And the tabernacle represents the house of God. And you and I know that when Christ died, the temple was, the curtain was torn twin. And God no longer dwelt in tents, but he lives in our hearts. But the fact that he lives in our hearts doesn't mean he has changed his mind about the colors. Hallelujah. Amen. And that's the reason why I chose those colors. Because when you read the Bible, I sought in the meditation of a bishop. And the colors have meaning. Hallelujah. Amen. Color white. Color white. God said, if you want me to live there, if you want me to live here, then the thing must be white. Color white. Hallelujah. Yeah. Revelation chapter 19, verse 7 to 8. Revelation, the book of Revelation 19, verses 7 to 8. He said that, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, And his wife had made herself ready. Verse 8. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, or clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. White represents holiness and righteousness. God, he said that you, I cannot be in your life when you are not holy and righteous. So don't think you can live anyhow and attract his presence. It's a message. A lot of Christians want to live anyhow. Everything under the blood, under the blood. Let me tell you something. It's not under the blood. He says, if you want to experience my power, my presence, then holiness is required. Then righteousness is required. Yeah. I can't live anyhow. So holiness. If it was the Lord who advanced Moses. If you want God to advance you, then God has to be with you. And God said, if I have to be with you, then I require of you holiness. I require of you righteousness. Holy living. Pure life. I mean, Christians nowadays can lie. It's not the word. It's just born again Christian was an unbeliever. Yeah. Holiness. Say the righteousness. Holy. You need to be holy. Yeah. We need to live a holy life. We need to live a life of righteousness. Hallelujah. Without holiness, no man can see God. It's time the church come back to the era of purity and holiness. Some time ago, you can say most Christian sisters were virgins, but now you can't. Yeah. Holiness is required. I say holiness is required. Yeah. Look, Ephesians said that Jesus Christ is coming back for a glorious church, or for his bride, a glorious bride, without spots and wrinkles. Spots, spotless, and wrinkle-free. Hallelujah. Yeah. We need holiness. And God is saying that this is the house I live in. If you want me in my life, then be holy. Yeah. Only that I can tell. See, it means live a sinless life. But you and I know that a sinless life is difficult. Hallelujah. See, and even the spot, that colors it. You see, sin is also age dependent. That's why, oh yeah. It talks about, the sins that easily beset us. Everybody and every generation and a sinner easily besets them. Hallelujah. That is why the Bible is emphatic on flee youthful lust. Because lust is the thing of the youth. It's a sin of the youth. By the time you hit a certain age, the problems and the stress, that. The stress and the problems. It's not that you are holy, but see, other things have taken the last out. Yeah. I mean, situations have taken the there's no space. You wake up in the morning, agenda on your mind, the things that you're doing. Last that. I mean, small gets long time gone. But when you are young, I mean, that's what it's a thing of the young. When you see the girl, you see her going. My God. It's in that, hey. I mean, most of you are imagining you when you marry your wife and then when you carry her. And you, ask these people now. Now, even when the woman is naked, they don't see. At that tense, they can pass the wife naked and will not even turn an eye. Am I saying, huh? It's good. It's good. But I remember when you were young, you would think of how you would carry, how you take the picture and you would carry her and then you move her. Yes. It is the age. And the hormone is a sin that easily besets you.
My God.
Yeah. Wow. At a certain age, no. They look, stop. The other issues at work. Yeah. So when we talk about sin, you see, that's what it says, it's actually dependent. So when we talk about sin, we say, oh, a lot of Christians think about fornication, smoking. They are young people's problems. They are young people's problem. Yeah. One time, a family friend, somebody I know, an elderly woman, somebody met her and said, hey, your husband has changed. The person, he said, hey, your husband has changed. He said, why? He said, he has stopped chasing girls. Then the wife said, he hasn't changed. He's old and tired. It's not because he has changed. Are you hearing me? He's tired. Hallelujah. See, but when we grow old, even though we don't fornicate, we don't do anything, we also acquire our own set of sins. The sins of the old. Pride. Oh, yeah. Old people are very proud. When you are talking, small boy, when did you come? You see, that thing that you think that somebody is a small boy, it means you are proud. Pride. Sins of the old. Pride. Okay? Accusations. Unforgiveness. Look, from time to time, you see, I have the privilege of pastoring both the first lab and the main church in my branch. And I have quite a sizable number of them. So from time to time, I'll go to the first lab and preach to them. Then after church, I'll sit down with them to talk. Look, most of them, they're, Reverend, this boy, my girlfriend, my beloved, that's all their problems. All their problems is my beloved and then the girl, and you know, and he was talking, and then you know, he's trying to go for this person, and my heart is broken. Reverend, you have to talk to him, you know. I don't deli- that's I can sit there for 3 hours. All that we talk about is beloved, broken heart. That's all their problems. That's all. Then when I come to the main church, hey. Daniel, unforgiveness. Tell you, unforgiveness. People will be talking about, you know, Reverend, I forgive him, but you know, 3 years ago he did the same thing. They can give you date and time. So even though you don't fornicate, you sing him every day, you worship every day, the unforgiveness is as equally a bitter sin. And without that, you cannot attract the presence of God. With the unforgiveness, his presence will not come. So sometimes even the young people, you see, when their heart is broken, they even have more experience with God because they forgive easily. Look, old people don't forgive you. At first I thought, but old people don't forgive at all. You need to be young at heart to forgive. The way we can accumulate things in their heart and give you references and dates. Yeah. So it's age dependent. So the fact that you come to church every day, you are holy, you sing, you pay your tithe, it's okay. That's what you do it well. Thou do it well. But the bitterness, some old people are bitter, you have no idea. You have to just rub them and they begin to, and they'll open up the, say, hey, so I say, so are all this hurting you? How do you carry such a hate? So then I was to the point that even the person who offended you, he's forgotten. And you still remember? Yeah. One time, a sister, recently, not even long ago, recently, a sister exploded in my church. Boom! So after, and I was wondering the reason for it. The other person did something trivial. That does not require that explosion. So when I called her and I said, hey, what I didn't know was that it was a ticking bomb. You see, you cannot be bitter. I say you cannot be bitter. As for hurt, you'll be hurt, but you cannot be bitter. You must always learn to walk in forgiveness. Forgiveness is not a choice, it's a necessity. Tell your neighbor, forgiveness is not a choice. It's a necessity. You have no... Yeah? If you want to attract. See, I'll tell you one story. Many years ago, I was a prophet Kakra. I was a prophet Kakra in Kumasi. Walking around the tech, past your stadium. Now, ask me, Kakra, but how can you remember all these verses? How you chew them? I mean, like, do you memorize them? That's what I asked him. And I said, if you have to remember that, then I thought about my brain sharp as your brain. How can me? I know if you remember it? Like, I was telling him I'm more intelligent than him. So how come I cannot memorize that he can know all these verses? And he told me something. We were just joking. He said, no. He told me. He said, no. I said, how? He says, when the anointing comes, the thing is like a screen. But that, you shouldn't even say what to that. You know what he told me? He says, but he has noticed every time he has a problem or argument with his wife, it disappears. Every time he's hurt. So because of that, he has vowed that his wife can never annoy him. Because the anointing is too precious. Like this woman, no matter what this woman does, will never be annoyed. It's a great light. You see, so immediately looking back, he's talking about the presence of God. Like anything that will make you bitter, the spirit just disappears. So the woman can say the nonsense of no nonsense. I will never be. But she's a very good woman, though. She's a very godly woman. I think she also knows that the husband carries a heavy anointing, so she doesn't misbehave. Some of you, the reason why your husband is not anointed because you always misbehave. You are the reason why. The man will go and wait on God, and when he comes, then you spoil all the anointing by your behavior. Hallelujah. Are you getting blessed? I think Apostle is here, so we'll close. This one is a discussion. I don't know. Okay. But the next color, the next thing we want to talk about is blue, actually. We saw color blue, right? Color blue. Hallelujah. I mean, blue basically represents the blue means the loyalty and the faithfulness of God. You see, you cannot attract God's presence without being loyal and faithful. Hallelujah. Yeah. Loyalty is required. It is required in the steward that a man be found faithful. And if you have time, we'll talk more about it. It actually represents Christ. One of the characteristics of Jesus Christ was that he was faithful. He said, the things I see my Father do, that's what I do. Jesus Christ never deviated from what his Father told him to do. Hallelujah. Yeah. We have a lot of Bible references I can give on when, like when you read the story of Mordecai. Mordecai was a very faithful man. His faithfulness was demonstrated when he exposed Orangus. You know, some people wanted to kill the king, and Mordecai heard about it, and he kept it. So after many years, the king said, do you remember? The guy who exposed those two traitors? What did we do for him? So we did nothing. So, oh, bring him. And when he came up, he was clothed in blue royal apparel. Because blue signifies loyalty and faithfulness. And let me tell you something. You must be loyal and faithful. Amen. So those of us who want to serve God with rebellion, the whole church say we are going here. No. It doesn't work. Powerful. Apostle is here. Hallelujah. Let me peep. Okay, he's here. I tell you, the real man is here. Hallelujah. Listen, so faithful, okay? Be faithful. There's a verse that really I find very fascinating. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 30. It's a very, very interesting verse. Proverbs 20, 30. It says that, no, 20, 30, not 28. The blueness. I'm talking about color blue. Color blue. The blueness of a wound cleanseth away evil. The blueness of a wound cleanseth away evil. You know, what it means is that when the wound acquires a blue color, healing begins. And we say that blue represents loyalty and faithfulness. So even though you are hurt, you are wounded, once you have loyalty and faithfulness, the wound begins to heal.
Amen.
Because if the wound does not heal, that part will be cut off. The reason why people get cut off in church is because they are hurt. It's a wound that does not heal. So, and one of the things that may make the wound heal is blue, which represents loyalty and faithful. So it's not that you are not hurtful, but because you are loyal and faithful, it helps you to overcome the hurt so that you'll not be cut off.
Amen.
Church, I told you, the man is here. Ladies and gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, it's my singular pleasure and honor to bring this Bible discussion to a close. And get ready for the main thing. We are so blessed and privileged, hallelujah, to have the chairman himself here. The chairman of the Bishop Council. Not chairman of North America. Bishop Council. Lighthouse worldwide. You see, as they say in Nigeria, this is the Oga Kwata 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 Kwata. Hallelujah. And I was saying that, look, you guys are very blessed. You can never have any better Christmas gift. That on in this Christmas season, among all the churches in the world, mind you, I'm not talking about America. I'm not even talking about America. The whole world. It means he could have gone to Kukrantumi. He could have gone to Dawadawa number 2. He could have gone to Pretoria. He could have gone to Sydney. He could have gone to Papua New Guinea. He could even go to the Quades. But he bypassed all that and landed in Philadelphia. It's such a blessing. Hallelujah. And we are so privileged to have Apostle here. But before he comes, let's welcome Sister Monica to give us a song.